At this point, I'm really amazed at what's going on, whether this is racial or not. You know, the cab industry is most made up of African Americans, Ethiopian, and different foreign drivers. If it was a white industry, would they be putting all these rules on us? What they have, the fines that they have in Chapter 8 is godly unreasonable. They can wipe you out, put you out of business overnight. Well, within an hour, all an inspector has got to do is write some tickets, four or five tickets, fines $5,000, you are out of business. And I think this is really done to make drivers, put drivers out of business, and it's going to put a lot of drivers out of business.
That was DCTC Commissioner Stanley Tapscott talking with regular TaxLink host Pete Tucker immediately after last Wednesday's regular commission meeting. Later in the show, we'll play the full interview where Stanley Tapscott describes the DCTC as a kangaroo court. This is the TaxiLink, brought to you by the Small Business Association of DC Taxicab Drivers. I'm William Martin, filling in for Pete Tucker, who is out this week but will be joining us by phone. I'm also with Tony Norman, ANC Commissioner and Chair of WPFW. Tony, Pete, thank you very much for being with us today.
Glad to be here. Glad to articulate another position in the rights of taxicab drivers.
Thank you for hosting well. It's great to hear your voice as well as Tony's.
Thank you very much. Today we have a very important announcement. As we've said on the show before, we'd be announcing the location and time of the general meeting of the Small Business Association of DC Taxicab Drivers. Today we're pleased to announce that the SBA meeting will be taking place at 2601 Evart Street Northeast. That's 2601 Evart Street Northeast, which is the Cadis Gabriel Ethiopian Orthodox Church at 2:30 p.m. August 19th. Again, that's 2:30 p.m. August 19th. We'll be announcing this a second time before the end of the show. Before we go any further, I'd like to give out three different telephone numbers. So if you're driving, you might want to pull over. First, I'm going to give out the number to listen to the TaxiLink live over your phone. A number of drivers have told us that the station signal can go in and out, but that won't happen if you listen over the phone. That number is 832-225-5330. Secondly, I will be giving you the number to call into this program, and we'll be going to take calls later on. That number is 703-534-9878. Lastly, I will give out the number for the Small Business Association's Taxi Phone Conference in Amharic, that begins directly after this program. The number to call to listen to the phone conference is 712-432-3100, and the code is 140465. Now we turn to the headlines. This Wednesday, the D.C. Taxicab Commission held a vote on revisions to Chapter 8 and Title 31, the chapter on taxicab parts and equipment. These new rulemakings, among other things, define the parameters of meter-generated receipts, ban the use of non-meter-generated receipts, except in cases where the meter breaks down in the process of printing a receipt, and defines a host of new unlawful activities for drivers, and so forth. The bill also more fully adopts the language of the Mary Che bill, referring to taxicabs as public vehicles for hire. This was also the first commission meeting of Commissioner Anthony Muhammad. Anthony Muhammad, who does have a hack license, was put forward as a commissioner but was held up for several months. Anthony Muhammad, at the time, was not endorsed by the Small Business Association because of his seeming lack of knowledge of the industry. At Wednesday's vote, Commissioner Tapscott was the only no vote, while Anthony Muhammad abstained from voting, partially because Muhammad was forced to recuse himself from the vote. There was, however, an interesting exchange between Tapscott and Linton at the commission meeting.
So the question is on adoption and the order for final publication. Does any commissioner wish to make any comment on the rule at this time? Mr. Tapscott.
Yes.
I'll be voting no on this because, if you remember, I was not allowed to vote when I came on board because I had no participation in the original proposal.
Thank you, Mr. Tapscott. May we characterize that for the record that you were advised that, having been non-participant in the previous activity, the council ruled that you needed to recuse yourself We don't like to use the term not allowed to do anything. Is that okay with you? And no, I said the council said you were not. And then I got chastised for using the terms not allowed. Okay. Mr. Muhammad, Bishop Muhammad, falls in the same category. Council has ruled the necessity of recusing yourself since you had not participated in any of the previous discussions.
That was an exchange between Stanley Tapscott and the D.C. Taxicab Commissioner Ron Linton during Wednesday's regular commission meeting. That was also Linton declaring that Anthony Muhammad would have to abstain from voting. Stanley Tapscott had been referring to a prior incident on May 23rd of this year where Tapscott had been prevented from voting.
The motion is approved. Let me comment that the Assistant Secretary had not been properly informed, but because the two new commissioners had not participated in the previous consideration and discussion on this, you actually were not eligible under the rules to vote on that, so that we'll not show your vote on this matter, but you are free to make any comments you'd like, Commissioner Tapscott.
My comment is relative around that. Being new on the commission, and I know there's one other two new commissioners, I was going to ask be put off until we get a chance to go over it and be ready to vote on it at a later date.
All rules are always subject to reconsideration, and any commissioner wants to make a petition proposal to reopen, you're free to do that. However, we are concluding about 4 months of consideration on this, so the vote will stand, and we will go to final rulemaking.
That was the May 23rd commission meeting, where Stanley Tapscott was first prevented from voting, an unprecedented action by the commission. Before we play the full interview between Pete Tucker and Stanley Tapscott, I'd like to first go to Tony Norman for his thoughts. Tony, as a lawyer, could you tell me a little bit about what you're seeing when you look at this, with the commission constantly going back and forth on this issue, and Linton blaming the general counsel for preventing Stanley Tapscott from voting?
Well, that's very disturbing. That just shows you once again as Linton being dictatorial. I mean, the general counsel simply offers advice. It is up to the commissioner and the commission to make the decision. I mean, we have new council members that come on the city council, and we have new senators and other new commissioners on the zoning commission that sit on the zoning commissions and other agencies. They're not banned from not voting because they weren't there. That's up to the commissioner to make that decision. The council, the general counsel, can advise and say, we advise that you may want to consider it since you haven't been here. But they're presuming that he didn't have any knowledge of the issues, that just because he wasn't on the commission doesn't mean he can't express himself or been keeping up with the hearings and the issue and all of the information that's related to the issue. So once again, this is a heavy hand chairman just pushing his way and bullying his way. And trying to stop these commissioners from voting. He knows that these are new taxicab driver commissioners, and so he's trying to prevent them from voting and any issue of this not passing. So it's just the heavy hand of Tapscott again. I mean, the counsel, general counsel and attorney just gives advice, and the commissioners and the commission should make the decision, not the chairman.
Thank you very much, Tony. Before we move on to the full interview between Pete Tucker and Stanley Tapscott, I really wanted to get Pete's thoughts on this issue, and I'd like him to introduce the interview between him and Stanley Tapscott. Pete?
Well, thank you, Will, and let me just follow up on what Tony's saying about this being heavy-handed. I mean, it struck me just thinking about Wednesday that Elliot Ferguson did vote on this measure. He's with the hotel industry, and he's recently been seated. There was no discussion about whether it was appropriate or not for him to vote, but you had Anthony Muhammad being told that he should not vote, and you had Linton interestingly saying that he didn't tell Stanley Tapscott he couldn't vote last time around, but you played the clip, Will, and it's pretty clear that he did just that. And this is a pattern of behavior where Chairman Linton has difficulty being straightforward. I remember when we talked about this on the taxi link, he said that there's a wave of drivers assaulting passengers. Well, I looked into that, and I went into the police station, got the police report, and there just isn't evidence to back that up. So this is a trend of someone who is in a position of authority, who has a lot of drivers' livelihoods depend on, you know, his actions. And there's a disturbing pattern of not being able to come forward in a way that holds up. Furthermore, and we do touch on this in an interview with Commissioner Stanley Tapscott, the hotel industry here, the hospitality industry. I mean, if you just look at Wednesday's vote, I think it was Bart Lasner, who's with the hotels, and Elliot Ferguson, who's CEO of Destination DC, which is heavily influenced by the hotels. They teamed up with Ron Linton. Those were the three votes in favor of this Chapter 8. Opposed was Stanley Tapscott, the one driver who voted. Anthony Muhammad, the other driver, didn't vote. So all you had is a hotel industry vote. And that is very disturbing. And so maybe before we turn to that clip, I wanted to get your and Tony's thoughts on general opening thoughts, but also on the role of this hospitality industry, because I don't think it's something that we've really looked into enough of. But these are big players, and they seem to get what they want with how taxi cab drivers are treated.
Yeah, I would just say that that's a good point. It shows you how close Linton is with the industry, the big taxi cab industry and the hospitality industry. He's letting the new commissioner from the industry vote, but not the taxi cab drivers to vote. But it just shows you a consistent pattern of Linton and what he's trying to do. I mean, it's no secret what they're trying to railroad through and put this kind of pressure and these regulations on the individual taxi cab driver. The goal is to drive the individual taxi cab driver out of the industry. And what we need to do is shed light on all of this. And then we need to look at maybe this. It's time that Linton has stepped down.
Thank you very much, Tony. And I would like to say that with the Mary Che bill redefining who can be a commissioner and who is a taxi representative, now people in the hotel industry are considered part of the taxi industry. It's pretty easy to see that the taxi industry really is dominated by the hospitality industry. And we really have to look into the motivations of why the hospitality industry is so insistent on controlling what taxi cab drivers do. So now we're going to try to play the full interview.
I just had a couple more.
Thanks for taking the time to talk with me, Commissioner Tapscott.
Thank you for having me.
Talk about the commission meeting which just took place here. There was a vote on Chapter 8. It was interesting how it broke down. You had the two hotel representatives, Elliot Ferguson, who's CEO of Destination DC, and Bart Lasner, who is with the hotels, voting with Chairman Linton to approve Chapter 8. You voted no after some discussion about whether you should be allowed to vote or not, as well as Commissioner Muhammad, who just was seated, he abstained. But very interesting discussion. Talk about this vote.
Yes, if he was here, you heard me say that I was not going to vote for it because when I first came on the commission and the first hearing we had, this Chapter 8 came up, and Mr. Linton told me that I was not eligible to vote, so I couldn't vote. And I reminded him of that today, but he denies it today. He said that was a decision of the Attorney General. I mean, not the Attorney General, of the Secretary, which is our lawyer. And I'm taken back. I don't know which way to go now. I'm surprised that he wouldn't admit to that he said that I couldn't vote, and putting it off on the attorney. So, and I don't understand why Mr. Muhammad was not allowed to vote today. My understanding is once you are sworn in on the commission, that makes you a full-fledged commissioner. And I don't think anyone has the right to take the vote away from you. And I really felt hurt over this thing because I've been voting since I was 18 years old, and which makes almost 60 years of voting. I've never been denied voting. And voting is dear to me because I think every individual should have a vote. And for this council to say I was not eligible to vote, it affects me deeply. And I am really taken back. I don't know how I feel about the council as of now.
And now Chairman Linton tried to make the case that he was just advising you, that it was not a statement that you couldn't vote previously, which does seem to be a change in his position.
His position was that I could not vote. I never heard the attorney say I couldn't vote. I heard him tell me I couldn't vote. So why he's changing his position now, I don't know.
The vote breakdown was kind of interesting. You had two representatives from the hotels and Linton passing a legislation regarding, passing a ruling, I guess, on Chapter 8 regarding taxicab drivers. So the two taxicab drivers that are now seated, yourself and Commissioner Muhammad, he abstained, you voted no. But the hotel industry in and of itself has the votes to put anything through that it likes.
We at a disadvantage. We have no vote because we can be outvoted at any time. He has the votes for anything that he wants to pass because they are all friends. He's friends with them, I think. From some of the things I've heard him say that I'll meet you Monday night. He's never asked to meet me. And the hotel industry, in my opinion, and the restaurant and tourism is controlling our industry. And I must say, at this point, I'm really amazed at what's going on, whether this is racial or not. You know, the cab industry is most made up of African Americans, Ethiopian, and different foreign drivers. If it was a white industry, would they be putting all these rules on us? Would they have the fines that they have in Chapter 8 is godly unreasonable. They can wipe you out, put you out of business overnight. Well, within an hour, all an inspector has got to do is write some tickets, four or five tickets, fines $5,000, you are out of business. And I think this is really done to make drivers, put drivers out of business, and it's going to put a lot of drivers out of business.
You mentioned that Chairman Linton might say to someone from the hotel industry on the commission, let's meet, you know, and speak afterwards. He hasn't done that with you. You have decades and decades of experience in this industry. What are some of the things that you might tell him if he were inclined to take the time to sit down with you?
I must have known to sit down when I came in. Well, even before I came in, I walked in his office on another matter, and he gave me the impression then that I was not welcome on this committee, that no one from the industry was really welcome. And if you read Shea's bill, whatever the chancellor name, it's in there that we will be eliminated from serving on these. And what industry do you know of that you don't have someone from the industry? You take the barbers. They got the people sitting on theirs. You got real estate people sitting on theirs. But they don't want no drivers on this commission. And why, I don't know. And if Mr. Linton had asked me, I think I got a vast amount of experience that I could have helped him. I don't say we would have agreed on everything. But I can go back to, and I've discussed this with him, on most of the legislation he's on the front page of it. It says most of this problem has started in the last 3 to 5 years. Well, to me, that's making the government look bad. Because 5 years ago, we had Costantoni, who was the chairman, that put all of these extra companies on in order for them to get medallions. They was promised medallions. That hurt the industry. He even ended up owning a cab company that is out of business now. Then Swain came along. Swain put all these drivers that I do not think was qualified to go on the street. He had them lined up around the building over at 2031 Martin Luther King Avenue and gave them license. So I think, and I've told him this, that I think the district government is responsible for the bad drivers that we have out here. Yes, we got bad drivers, and I'm willing to help to get rid of bad drivers. I've told him that, but they don't want to use that. I think it's a slap in the cab driver's face to say all of this happened in the last 3 to 5 years and put on cab drivers when it was all of these laws were made by the District of Columbia.
Today's meeting didn't have a lot of drivers present. You spoke at a recent meeting of drivers and said one of the most important things is for drivers to attend these meetings because it sends a message to the chairman. And you also mentioned that the chairman said, you look, if drivers, they don't care that much, otherwise they'd be here in numbers,
right?
Not here in numbers today.
Right. I'm very disappointed. I'm really disappointed. I don't know what else I can do. I've talked to drivers. I've talked to owners. And we need to, you know, just like I said, one or two is not going to make no difference. The same people come down to testify all the time. We have no new blood in the industry. And they'll just say, ignoring it. And I've heard comments, well, we know Carolyn Robinson will be here. We know that Nathan Price. And, you know, they're not listening. And they say they make changes. I've not seen any changes they've made from any testimony that has been going on. So it's just a kangaroo court right now as far as I'm concerned.
What impact does significant turnout have on the committee members, commission members?
Well, you know, numbers count a lot in anything. If you got one person standing up yelling, everybody's going to walk by and look at him and say, that fool is yelling. But if you got 500 standing up there yelling the same thing, somebody's going to stop and listen. And that's the same thing here. They're not listening because we do not turn out. Somehow we got to get drivers to understand this is their livelihood. I mean, you know, how long will I be driving a cab? I don't know. As long as my health allows me. But my day's over. I'm thinking about the younger drivers. They need to get involved. They need to come out here. But they too busy making money for themselves. And I know this is their livelihood, but you have to sacrifice some. And we need to sacrifice. And I'm going to start talking to the companies. The companies got to put more pressure on their drivers to show up at these meetings and be heard. And that's the main interest that I have right now, is having people get out of these meetings.
Will these companies and drivers be in business if folks don't turn out in numbers?
The way I read and understand the Shays bill, no. I think right now that at least 2/3 of the drivers will be gone. And then the other thing is in the background that we haven't heard about is residents of Maryland, Virginia. How long are they going to be able to get their license in D.C.? If they wipe them out, they wipe the taxicab interest out. Because most of the drivers live in D.C. or Maryland.
I don't have the words before me, but Chairman Ron Linton did an interview with Mike DeBonis of the Washington Post, and it's quite interesting Q&A. And he said, I do meet with drivers quite a lot. When I go to the gas station, I talk with them.
Yeah, I read that, and I had to laugh to myself. What gas station do we go to? The one at 15th and U. Do we go to the gas station out here on Martin Luther King Avenue? Do we go to the gas station on Benning Road? Do we go to the gas station on East Capitol Street? I've never seen him in those areas at all. So this is, you know, sure, a lot of drivers think they're doing well. But I don't think they're doing well. When you go back 5 years ago, they took 30 cents a mile away from us. And in 5 years, if you count up every mile you ran in 5 years, look at the money you lost. Now they give us a little raise, and everybody's happy. But they're not taking into consideration. They took away baggage we can't charge anymore. They took away the extra passion we can't charge. They're still losing money. Gasoline, since this has gone into effect, has risen almost 50 cents a gallon. They took the gas surcharge tax off. I don't know how they think they're doing so well.
Another issue discussed with the interview with Mike DeBonis was Chairman Linton's financial well-being, that he took a bath in the real estate market. Unmentioned, I think he said he went bankrupt. And this, I think, is interesting. It's the first time this has been brought out. But when you're dealing with an industry with so much money, so much hospitality industry money, to have someone coming back, maybe for financial reasons, does that raise any concerns for you?
Well, you know, I must say I've never heard this before. This is news to me. But in hearing what you're saying, it certainly raised an eyebrow that a man at 83 years old would want to be involved in this business. Is that a personal reason? I don't know.
Any final thoughts you care to share? And thanks for your time, Commissioner Tapscott.
Well, you know, I'm always pleased to talk with you and get the message out. All I got to say, drivers, please, 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 start to turning out to the meetings and be heard. Without the drivers being heard, we are on the road down. And really, I hate to say this, and I haven't said it to anyone else, but the way it's going right now, I think I'm wasting my time.
Why is that?
We're not getting anything done. It's a kangaroo court. Everything is cut and dried. They're not listening to anything I say. They're not listening to nobody but the hotel and restaurant people. They're not listening to us. They're not concerned about us.
What do you think it would take to change that?
Companies and drivers. I mean, I really think if we got together strong enough with a union or association, whatever they want, we could change a lot of things. But two or three or four of us trying to change, it's not going to help any.
Thanks for your time.
All right. Thank you.
That was Stanley Tapscott with what I think is a very important message for drivers. Stanley Tapscott telling drivers to turn out to more commission meetings and to become more involved if there's any hope of turning the situation around. We cut off Pete Tucker a little bit earlier, so we're going to go back to Pete for a second to get his thoughts. Pete?
Thanks, Will, and I will definitely add my thoughts. It was an honor to get a chance to sit down with Commissioner Tapscott directly following Wednesday's meeting. And, you know, he's always got time to talk with drivers. And I think that, you know, as he pointed out, it takes numbers of drivers showing up to send a message to the commissioners to get them to be stronger if they're inclined to do good things for drivers and get them to be a little worried if they're really going to push through anti-driver measures. It is important in going forward that we have significant driver turnout. And just a couple of things I want to mention. I really want to get Tony's thoughts as well. But one is that August 19th, you mentioned at the beginning, there's going to be a town hall put on by the Small Business Association. And that's going to be on a Sunday afternoon, 2:30 p.m. You mentioned the church in Northeast. And, of course, we'll give that information out next week. And I think flyers will be going out as well. But it's critically important that we get together, not just over the radio, but in person and meet one another. And so I just want to put that out. And I know that Tony is going to be down at the gas station along with McConan Abel-Sium, who's a driver with Grand, regarding the work that he's doing with WPFW. And I'm sure he's going to talk about that and why he'll be down at 15th and you directly following the show. But I did want to hear Tony's thoughts on the interview.
Thank you very much for that, Pete. Tony, your thoughts?
Yeah, I just want to say, first of all, thank Pete and wish him a happy birthday. But what Mr. Tapscott was saying was very disturbing. We need to encourage him to stay on the commission, even though it may look like they don't have the votes to do the things in favor of taxicab driver. We do need people sitting on the commission to raise the issues of what's happening, to raise the issue of the incompetence of the commission, to raise the biasness of the chairman. And that's why it's important. And then he can do the interviews with the media. That's why, as Pete said, we're going to be at 15th and U. That's why we need independent media. That's where WPFW comes in. That's why we keep begging for memberships. It's important to be a stakeholder. Come to 15th and U. Myself and McConan is going to be there from 9:15 to 10 o'clock. It's only $25 a year, and that's nothing compared to what the major media is doing to this particular industry. So please come to 15th and U today and pay your $25 membership to WPFW. But what
I just have one more comment, Will, on WPFW. My grandfather just passed away this past week, and he ran a radio station in New York City, WMCA. And it was one of the biggest stations going. And I was shocked to read, it was in the Washington Post, the New York Times, and Obit, of all the things he did. He did a lot with the State Department and business and government, and was just a wonderful human being, a great person. I'm proud to be named after him. His name is R. Peter Strauss. But I was shocked to read in the papers that WMCA was only a 5,000-watt station. WPFW is a 50,000-watt station. It reaches Baltimore, goes well into Virginia. So just to give an idea, you know, that on 5,000 watts, WMCA really rocked New York City during the 70s. And that was when the Beatles, the 60s, 70s, the Beatles were hot, and they did a lot of talk, and they were able to really move things. They did a thing called call for action, where if a landlord was screwing over their tenant, they could call in to the radio station, and they had volunteers that would come in and document the landlord. And if there was a whole lot of documentation and the landlord wasn't responsive to the station, they would broadcast that landlord's name over the radio. And that doing that got a response. And landlords, they paid attention. And so I was just shocked to see that it's only 5,000 watts that they were operating with in the 70s. And here we have a 50,000-watt station with WPFW. We have the opportunity to do something major for drivers because drivers are being screwed. Drivers are not – their voices are not being heard. People are trying to do something right by their families. And time and again, you see pushes to have a medallion bill. You see pushes for Verifone, pushes for these big companies. And there's an opportunity with the 50,000-watt station to do something significant for drivers. But as Tony has pointed out many times, WPFW is responsive to its stakeholders. And so I do think it's a very important opportunity for drivers to get involved with WPFW, to become a stakeholder, and to work with the station to make sure that drivers' voices are heard. There's too many jobs on the line here, not just in D.C., but you go over the boundary to Montgomery County, and it is disturbing to hear what drivers there are going through. Prince George's County, Northern Virginia, those who are organizing with Tenants and Workers United. There's real opportunity for gains, but without a media, without a strong signal, I don't see how that can happen. So I do think what Tony and McConan and the 15th and you this evening, what they are doing and what I'm proud to work with them on, I do think it's very important that drivers become a part of WPFW and help work with that.
Thank you very much, Pete. And I'm very sorry to hear about your grandfather.
Thanks, Will. One last thing. I want to make sure drivers know this will be a couple days, but we'll get this show posted at thefightback.org, and all the past shows are up there as well at www.thefightback.org. And so people can check out the past shows. They can get the upcoming shows. And Will, I want to first of all, maybe we can give out the number because I know that there's some time. I know drivers have wanted time to call in to the program, and I know you're going to be taking calls. So I wanted to give out that number. I know you'll give it out as well. But that number for folks that want to call in, comment, a question, and Tony will be there for the hour with Will, is 703-534-9878, 703-534-9878. And momentarily, I know Will's going to be taking calls along with Tony. And the last thing I say, I got to go in a minute, Will, but the last thing, one of the last things I'd like to say is I want to thank you. Not just for hosting today, not just for your work, putting out the D.C. Taxi Link, which is an excellent newsletter. You know, I got to meet you at Occupy D.C., and you've just been working so hard. And I just want to commend you for all you've done with the Small Business Association. And I also want to thank Mark Taylor, who just does an outstanding job engineering each week, as well as my good friend Tony Norman for all he does on so many fronts. I'm sorry not to be there. I look forward to being on with him next week.
Thank you so much, Pete. We're going to let you celebrate your birthday now.
Thank you. I'm up here with my family, including my pregnant sister, and she's an award-winning journalist.
Congratulations.
So, it's good to mourn our loss and celebrate with family. And I'll be back next week, and we'll post this at thefightback.org. But I definitely encourage drivers to call in and talk with Tony and talk with Will, and definitely look forward to seeing drivers August 19th. I think these town halls are critically important. I think getting to know one in person and being out is critically important. And then we also got to talk about more significant and consistent driver turnout at these meetings, because talking to Commissioner Tapscott, it's very clear. You know, these commissioners become emboldened when they do something to hurt drivers, and then they don't see drivers in person, and they don't get a little chill down their spine, a little fear, that because they see the numbers out there in the crowd, then they're going to be emboldened to keep doing these things that hurt drivers. And so there's a lot at stake here, and we need to be involved, and the role of this radio program is to get that information out to drivers so they have good information, and then they can do the good organizing that needs to be done.
Thank you very much, Pete. And just as Pete said, I'm going to actually read out a list of events that are happening in the next couple of weeks so that drivers can show up to them. I'm also going to give out the number a second time, and that number to call in the program is 703-534-9878, and we'll start taking calls right after I read this list of events. Some of the events are on the SBA General Meeting of DC Taxicab Drivers, which is on August 19th, 2:30 p.m., 2601 Evart Street Northeast at Cadas Gabriel Ethiopian Orthodox Church. Again, that's August 19th, 230 2601 Evart Street Northeast at the Cadis Gabriel Ethiopian Orthodox Church. Secondly, if you want to support independent media outlets like this, just as Tony and Pete were talking about, there is going to be a WPFW town hall meeting at Monday, August 20th, 6:30 to 8:30 at Charles Houston Rec Center, 901 Wythe Street, Alexandria, Virginia. Again, that's Monday, August 20th, 6:30 to 8:30, Charles Houston Rec Center, 901 Wythe Street, Alexandria, Virginia. And if we have a good showing of drivers at this town hall meeting, it will persuade WPFW to cover more taxi issues. And finally, there's going to be an important DCTC meeting on August 22nd, a very long one, starting at 10 a.m. at 1 Judiciary Square. That's August 22nd, 10 a.m. at 1 Judiciary Square. If you've never been to a commission meeting before, this is a time to get started. Drivers need to have a presence at these meetings. This is an important commission meeting that's going to talk about amendments to Chapter 5, 6, 8, 11, 13, and 15 of Title 31 of the D.C. Municipal Regulations. So check that out, and also check the DCTC website regularly, and do register to make public comments. We're going to open the phone lines now. We're going to take our first caller. Caller, are you on the air?
Hello?
Caller?
You're on the air.
You're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
I'm sorry. There's a heavy rain, so there's a noise in the background. First of all, I would like to pay my condolences to the relative grandfather of Pitaker, and I also wish him a happy birthday. This is my child, and I would like to remind all my friends what Mr. Tapscott has said, and if there is any opportunity to repeat that clip, audio clip, it would be very important. Everything has been said. Those of us who usually appear every hearing and council meeting, this have been called insane and mad people, because we are there to effect no outcome. That's why they call us that way. It's because, not because we have no logical or reasonable argument, but we are weak. Instead, our opponents are strong. They have taken over the industry. They have taken over the commission, and they do whatever they want to do while we are sitting quietly. I encourage all of the taxi cab drivers to involve in this matter and try to retain the resistance and to fight for the right. I mean, there's nothing bad can happen anymore. So we are going down the drain. We have to stop this. I would like to thank you, everybody. Please come and join us on our meeting on August 19th, and let us organize. We fail if we are not united, and we will win our united. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Patrol. And I have to say, when the media has taken notice of drivers' problems, it's because drivers have a huge showing. When drivers occupy the top of the Wilson Building, the hearing, where it was only standing room only because of what drivers did, the media noticed. And the media noticed when we packed the DCTC meeting as well. So I want to just note that those were two events where the media did take notice. And if we could do that again, there's no reason to believe it wouldn't be any different. Tony, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Michelle hits on a good point, and you hit on a good point. We have to show up in numbers, and because obviously this chairman does not respect the average taxi cab drivers. They have a condescending, nor the commission, they have a condescending attitude. They treat them like slaves. The stories I hear about how they're treated by hack inspectors and when they go before the commission, it's indicative of how Linton is behaving, how he puts down the taxi cab drivers. And that just when Uber when the council changed their mind because they said Uber sent over 8,000 emails. Like I said, companies generate that. But it didn't affect the council when you had close to 400 drivers that packed the city council. It shows you the sort of discrimination and blatant mistreatment and disrespect for the D.C. taxicab drivers. They think because most of them are minorities and they're foreigners that they just don't matter. But it's up to the taxicab driver to make sure that to tell them that we do matter, because they put more weight on those so-called 8,000 emails from Uber. Well, like I said, that was probably weren't even human beings. They were most of those were mechanically generated. So it's important that the drivers show up for the meetings, show up for the assemblies, show up for the commission hearings, so that we can show that the drivers are very serious. And many of the drivers are to be respected. And I think Linton and the Taxicab Commission would only respect when we constantly expose them and expose them through independent media.
I just want to highlight the importance of this when it comes to Uber. I'm going to read a quote from a Mike DeBonis interview with Ron Linton that was published on the August 6th, where Ron Linton says, this is Ron Linton, Uber is admittedly, I believe, a predator company. They're going to try to dominate the market. And if it eliminates standard cabs, so be it. That's really what's at stake here, is Uber trying to take over the taxicab industry. It has extensive resources, much more extensive than us. They accuse the taxi industry of lobbying for favorable treatment and at the same time lobby for themselves to get favorable treatment, and they've succeeded much more successfully than drivers have. So that's what we're up against. I believe we have a second caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yeah. My name is Ted Dele, and I've been driving taxi for can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, for 36 years, part-time and full-time. But lately, what Dictator Linton is doing, if you return, like when we go home or when we're sick, when we take a vacation, we return our tags. A friend of mine, his car was completely damaged. Somebody hit and run. And then he was renting a taxi for 6 months. Now he's trying to buy a car, and they told him he cannot get his H license anymore. And they're planning to close about 40 taxi companies, so nobody will get an H tag anymore. But this is against the law, because Linton doesn't have that authority. The authority is invested on the city council. Because since tonight, anybody who got a license, H license, or registered his car in the District of Columbia prior to 1996, you're eligible to get it. Okay, but the city council voted on that and it passed. But who gave authority to Dictator Linton to do this? A lot of taxi drivers now who returned their tags because some of them are sick, some went home, some on vacation, some the car broke down, they cannot get it back. So what kind of, I've been going to this meeting for years and years, and I've been testifying for years and years. And now, to me personally, if I go over there, probably I'm going to go to jail because I'm becoming very emotional to what they're doing. These people, the one thing I wanted to ask Linton was, I wanted him to rate us, like from the scale from 0 to 10, how he respects the taxi driver. I think I can answer it for him. 0. He doesn't have any respect. And on one meeting, he said, I didn't need this job. They gave it to me, he said. I told him, why don't you resign then? You know, he got upset. So, and I don't even know what to do now. And the best thing for me is to go on a strike, let the people see. And I'm not afraid of Uber. You know, I drive yellow cab. We have Taxi Magic. I'm promoting Taxi Magic for all my customers to get it. So Uber is nothing but application. And Taxi Magic is an application. And Taxi Magic is the one who was a contender to get this new machine that they're trying to put on us. But they pushed them away. I think they sued. They sued DC government. I'm not sure. And then the other one, company, the one you guys promised, the manager, whatever, who's going to come to testify, whether they're on the suit, the DC government, I don't know. But, you know, we have to be united. We have to come together. And Mr. Price's, association, and then the Small Business Association, we should fight together. If we're divided, we're going to lose everything, you know.
That's right.
This is my thought. And thank you for the time.
All right, thank you. Before we move on to comments, I just wanted to give out that number again. So that number to call into the program is 703-534-9878. Now, Tony, did you have any thoughts about what
the call was about? Yeah, he raised an important point that we all have to work together, the taxicab drivers, the Small Business Association, the other taxicab association, the Dominion D.C. Professional Association of Taxicab Drivers. We all are fighting for the same thing, and we're all working together. We all have to continue working together. Then he also stated that he didn't know what to do. There's a lot of things that you can do. We're going to continue this fight. This is going to be a continual fight. We're going to have to fight, continue to lobby, continue to put pressure on the mayor, because now he's under pressure, and that's why we're going to put pressure on him to try to reverse some of these things. Continue to put pressure on this Linton, although I think Dictator Linton is useless to try to put pressure on him. We just have to look at having his resignation or forcing him out, because he just totally disrespects taxicab drivers. But we have to look into legal options. There are lawsuits already pending, looking at injunctions that may be brought. And also, keep getting the message out. We want to educate taxicab drivers, educate the public. That's why we keep pleading with joining WPFW, $25 a year independent radio, because we have a voice to express, and we can give that voice to the taxicab drivers to tell the public, the general public, who will put pressure on the politicians, what we need to do. So there's a lot of things we can do. We have to continue to fight. It's going to go on because people are fighting for their livelihood. People are fighting for their jobs. And Linton said it. You have to fight for the next generation of taxicab drivers. You want them to be independent. You don't just want them to be slaves and employees to big taxicab companies. So the fight goes on. We have to continue fighting. As long as you're alive and breathing, you have to continue to fight.
I think that's right. And remember that Ron Linton is the person that really was very much against having taxi drivers as representatives on the taxicab commission. And you've got to wonder, if you're an honest broker, what's wrong with putting the people that are most affected by your decisions in places where you can talk to them? I think that is very interesting. I think we have another caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, that's me.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. My name is McConnell. I'm working with Pete and Tony.
Hey, McConnell.
I just called. How you doing? I just called to encourage everybody who's listening this radio. You know, we've been 15 and youth, you know, gas station to collect the membership, and I'm encourage everybody who's listening this radio to be part of this movement. So, as everybody mentioned, you know, if you work together, if you don't work together, you know, we're going to lose our jobs. So, again, I will encourage everybody. I know it's raining outside, but it will be there for 1 hour. And then hopefully we're going to see a lot of people today.
Thank you very much. Tony?
Yes, that's McConnell has been doing a great deal of work in helping organizing with taxicab drivers and helping us with WPFW and encouraging drivers to become members, because you become stakeholders. And we have a very, very, as Pete said earlier, 50,000 watts. We can reach a very large audience in D.C., Maryland, all the way up to Baltimore. So that's a very important medium and a tool that taxicab drivers can use. And we want them to use WPFWs. So become a stakeholder in WPFW, only $25 a year. And that'll get you that a stake into the station.
Thank you. We still have time for a few callers. So if you wanted to call in at 703-534-9878, that's 703-534-9878. We can still take your call. All right. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, caller.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. I think there's numerous complaints that taxi drivers are not participating in the numerous meetings and you know, with, you know, we'll get together. But I just want to comment on behalf of the cab drivers. It's not that we lack interest, but I think we feel hopeless that our voices are not going to be heard. And the current administration would do anything that is suitable for the customers, regardless of how inconvenience will be to the drivers. My second comment is I think that we got to feel the moment right now that we're fighting gun holders with sword, you know. Unless we could get a legal process in hand and somebody in front who knows our you know, rights and, you know, and fight for us, I think we stand and we cab drivers sitting down talking to the commissioner is not going to work out anymore. So that's all I wanted to say. And thank you guys for your time.
Thank you very much. Tony?
I just want to quickly say that that's true. It may seem like that they are they have more on their side than we have on ours, but we have to continue to fight. I mean, the taxi cab drivers have to show that they do have some leverage. They have the numbers, and there's some things. They have made changes. Don't think that it's a losing battle. Remember, we won the medallion. They tried to push the medallion bill, the big companies, the politicians, but we raised the issue. The taxi cab drivers came out to the meeting. We fought that, and they pulled that back. So there are some victories. There are some things that they pull back on. Do not think that it's a hopeless fight. We can win these things. We already have a lawsuit pending. We're looking at other legal options and lobbying options. So do not think that it's a losing fight. You have to continue fighting it. Another important aspect is to educate the general public and educate the politician. That's why we have this radio show. That's why we're pushing for WPFW. We have to get the voice out there, want the public hear it. I think we can win these battles, and we proved that with fighting back the medallion bill.
Yeah, and as an unapologetic supporter of protest and mass movements, I think that if you get enough people to say enough is enough, then that's a very powerful force, and you can't really stop that. And I think that if we educated the public about what's going on with cab drivers— then we would have the public on our side. Unfortunately, we have so much corporate media out there saying all these lies, you know, just being parrots of the D.C. Taxi Commission or being parrots of Uber. I think WPFW is important. I think this radio show is important as well. I think we have another caller. Caller?
Hello?
You're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, my name is Sharif. The reason I call this, like, you know, we have the number and we have the money. We have many cab companies who have the money, and we have the number of the drivers. We are the second largest after New York. But, you know, what we need is these cab companies, they have to wake up. You know, they're going to put them out of business one by one, you know. They previously closed Anacostia, the reinstated, yes, but DC Express, a lot of them are on lit. And then they given more power to the hack officers. So drivers are vulnerable, you know. And, you know, we are running off time. We cannot wait anymore, you know. And how long these cab companies and drivers are ignoring, you know. It will come a time, it will be too late. We cannot do anything. But, you know, we need to act very fast. We have to participate and fight back as quick as possible because they are making, changing rules very fast, you know, and they're making the business hard for the driver, you know. And, you know, If these drivers and cab companies watch each other, then it will come a time it's too late. You know, I asked Linton, you know, he said he's going to start installing this smart meter by middle of this month, by 15th. So once he installs that meter, the smart meter, then they will take half of control of the of our business because once they have the meter, that means they can shut you off anytime they want. They can remove you from business anytime they want. So we this is the worst time for us waste time, especially, you know, this all the senior drivers. I've been driving 25 years. We invested this business. Right now we are in a position they want to kick us out with a zero balance, nothing. They don't want to even give us a medallion, forgot it. You know, forgot it. There is no ownership. There is they're eliminating the cab companies and drivers, but they're going to get us one by one. So more we wait, we're going to be in a worse situation. What they're trying to do is they're trying to kick out legal drivers and bring illegal Ubers, limos, and those illegal will become legal, and the legal will become illegal. And that's what they're trying to do. These people are they dishonest, don't trust them, and as long as we wait, we're going to be in a worse situation.
Thank you very much. Tony, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with him in terms of we can't wait. We have to move quickly. We have to organize. Taxicab drivers have to get involved. We can't wait. But there are some advantages we do have. Even this smart meter, they're not going to install that this month. In fact, there's a question whether it even happened before the end of this year, because the taxicab commission is in disarray. The contract is not in place. There's going to be hearing on the contract. There are some other bidders that are challenging that contract. So that would delay it at least a couple of months. So it's not going to happen within the next couple of weeks. They will not be trying to institute these smart meters. And even to institute these smart meters is going to be a bigger investment than what they think, and a lot more time than what they think. So it's not going to happen, I think, before the end of this year. So we do have a little time, but we shouldn't use that and not continue to fight. So I hear his concern, but we still have to fight. We still have to hold their feet to the fire. We still have to go to meetings. You still have to support these type of shows to get the word out. So we got some time to fight it.
Yeah, and there are sudden changes. We can win. So, and you never know when this lawsuit is going to come through. The lawsuit is still undecided, so we could quite easily win it. But until then, the safe thing to do for drivers to do would be to become more active. I've got a talking about the contract. We were going to have the lobbyist here. Unfortunately, there's a lot of scheduling complications, so we're going to have to get back to you about that. Let's move on to the next caller. I'm going to give out the phone number again. We have a time for one call, maybe. That's 703-534-9878. That's 703-534-9878. And I just want to also give out the addresses again of the events that I just said, so that we can have driver turnouts to them. That is August 19th, 2:30 at 2601 Evart Street Northwest. That's the Cadis Gabriel Ethiopian Orthodox Church. That's where we're holding the SBA general meeting. At Monday, August 20th, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Charles Houston Rec Center, 901 Wythe Street in Alexandria, Virginia, we will be holding the WPFW Town Hall, or at least WPFW will be holding the Town Hall. And finally, there will be a very important DCTC meeting on August 22nd, 10 a.m. at 1 Judiciary Square. And again, if you've never been to a commission meeting before, this is the time to sign up for public comment. It looks like we don't have any more callers. So, Tony, do you have any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I would just like to say to drivers, some of them you can hear them being discouraged, but we are going to win this. Do not be discouraged and thinking they have the money on their side. What we have on our side is we have right on our side. We have righteousness on our side. We represent the independent taxicab drivers. These people out here fighting, we're not being paid for this. We're out here fighting for the cause. We don't receive any salaries or any money related to this whatsoever. So do not be discouraged. We have to organize. We have to stay involved in the fight. as Dr. King used to say, the arc of the Moore universe is long, but it bends toward justice.